And I'm glad we serve a mighty God this morning who's able to do all things. And it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Good to have our visitors. We appreciate you being with us today. And I hope you'll just join in and worship the Lord together. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 16, very familiar passage of scripture this morning. I can quote it and not look at it. I've said it thousands and thousands of times now, I'm sure, because I didn't realize this, but I got to studying, thinking about something the other day, and I got to looking back in some of my notes. You know, we had the church's 120-year anniversary on May 31st, this past May 31st, but also that was another anniversary. That was the first Old Paths broadcast, was May 31st, 1993. I wasn't pastoring at that time, but God just laid it on my heart to start a radio broadcast, and so I did by faith, and God has really blessed it down through the years. And that was 18 years ago, if my math is correct. And I can't even remember how that I came about to call it the Old Paths broadcast, but I just like this verse, and so I guess from there, but I can't remember an exact point in time where I found this verse or anything, but Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 16, very familiar to you this morning. Let's read that, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And most, I never quote this on the radio broadcast, but that's not the end of that verse. It goes on down. It's really a sad verse when you think about it. You read the whole thing in its context. It goes on and it says, "But they said, we will not walk therein." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I just want to thank you so much for this day, this beautiful day. The good rain last night, God, everything you've done for us. Lord, we just praise you and thank you so much. Lord, I'm thankful that you died on Calvary's tree for us, that we might be saved. I'm thankful, Lord, you shed your blood, Lord, to wash our sins away and remember them no more. God, we're unworthy. Lord, we are so unworthy. Lord, we're nothing apart from thy blood and what you did for us at Calvary. Lord, we thank you, God, that you're able to take us that's just made out of dust and sinful, not righteous in your eyes, and cleanse us and save us and make us something, Lord, fit for thy service. We need thy help each and every day. God, I pray you'd have your way today. Speak to our hearts. Help us to remember, Lord, about the old paths and the good way where we can find rest for our souls. Lord, I pray you'd help me today. God, as I stand to try to preach, I pray for liberty and freedom. God, I pray you just have your way and speak to our hearts and help us as a church. Lord, even as Sunday school, the Sunday school lesson is talking about these same things. God, help us not to get caught up in just tradition. But God, help us to be all about the Word of God and following it. And Lord, being what you'd have us to be in these last days. Lord, have your way just now. Speak to every heart and we'll thank you for all that you do. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. I would say as I get started, you know, there's certain verses God will give you in your life that'll be a life verse. I mean, there are verses that you'll go back to and they'll be a blessing to you as long as you live. You may learn them when you're young, and a lot of people, you know, like Philippians 4 and 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me," or something like the 23rd Psalm. A lot of people take that and use it as a life scripture. And just, you know, I don't know what your life verse is this morning, what speaks to your heart more than anything else, but as for me personally, this is one of my life's verses. I love it. It's like when you lay up a building in the olden days, they would take and they'd have a cornerstone. They'd have a starting place. And from that cornerstone, they would lay the foundation and everything was built, measured off, and in relation to that cornerstone. And if I have a cornerstone scripture in my life, it'd have to be this verse of scripture in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 16. I love the book of Jeremiah. I love to study about Jeremiah. When God called me to preach, He spoke to me out of Jeremiah chapter number 1, where Jeremiah said, "Behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." And so I'm very close in my spiritual life to Jeremiah and his ministry. I draw a lot from it and have down through the years, and I love this verse of scripture, and I want to just preach on this morning, the old paths. That was what I was going to preach on the day we had the birthday celebration for the church, but I didn't preach on it that morning, but I believe that's what the Lord had had me to try to preach on today. So I think about this verse, I think about what it means to me. I was saying about this morning, and I got a blessing out of it. When God called me to preach, and I could never preach enough. I wanted to preach. I believe that's how it ought to be. When God calls somebody to preach, I believe they ought to want to preach more than they want to eat, more than they want to do anything. They want to preach, and that's how it was in my life. And I remember I was working over at ASU, and I was listening to the radio, and at that time there was a little Christian radio station over in Blowing Rock that had just come on the air, and I was listening to that, and I was working, and Brother Gary Shue, he was preaching. He had a radio broadcast every morning, and I would listen to it, and boy, I was getting a blessing out of it. I was putting, I'd put candy in vending machines, and I had a truck, and I'd work out of the back of that truck and go through and get Snickers and M&Ms and Butterfingers and fill up those machines over there. And while I was doing that, I was listening to the radio, and I thought, I began to pray. I said, "God, I just pray You'd put more preachers on the radio. There'd be a blessing like that." And I remember God spoke to my heart, and He said, "You do it." And I thought, "No, Lord, that's not what I meant, that I want to. I just want You to get somebody else to." And so that's how it is a whole lot of times. You better be careful what you ask for. God might just tell you to do it. But I was very careful about getting involved in that, because Preacher Honeycutt, most everybody knows him, and he's a great blessing to the church and has the Open Bible Hour Ministries, and he's been on the radio now for a long, long time. And I had remembered him saying about the radio ministry, he said, "You'd better be sure God puts you in it, because if He don't, it'll kill you." He said, "If God puts you in it, you'll enjoy it, but," he said, "it's a lot of work." And it is a lot of work, and I'd been praying about that, and I'd been asking God if that's what He wanted me to do. And I remember coming over here. We were members at Mountaindale at that time, and Preacher Jimmy Rose, he's a missionary. Most of you remember Brother Jimmy. He's still preaching, but he's not in Brazil any longer. And he'd been over at Mountaindale on a Sunday morning. Preacher Carl had him over there, and we went. That's where we were members and attended over there when I wasn't preaching. And then that night, he came over here and preached at Mount Lebanon, and there was a lot of people here on that Sunday night to hear Brother Jimmy preach. And I remember sitting right back there, about right in front of where Brother Scott is, and Brother Jimmy, he preached on this subject. He preached on the servant with his ear bored through with an awl. And what that's talking about in the Word of God is giving your life to your master and just coming and saying, "You don't make me do it. I want to do it. I want to love You. I want to serve You." Boy, he preached on that night. And I remember, I come right down here to this altar right here, and I said, "God, if that's what You want me to do, I'll do." And boy, God's blessed down through the years. And I thought, I was saying about this morning, I got such a blessing out of it. I thought, you know, I surrendered to do that at Mount Lebanon, and now Mount Lebanon, You support the Old Paths broadcast. And so we're working together, and I wasn't even pastoring at that time, but now down through the years, you know, God doesn't do anything halfway, does He? When God does something, it'll mean something to you. Boy, I love this verse of Scripture. One preacher said, "I don't know if I'm going to preach or testify." He said, "I might just preachify." But oh, I think about how God's provided and God's blessed. And I meet people all the time. They say, "Preacher, I heard You on the radio. Boy, I got a blessing out of it." You don't know when that part of why I'm preaching this morning, I want you as a church to know how important it is. I mean, we talk about supporting missionaries and ministries and all of these things, but you know what? I think every church ought to have the emphasis of their ministry right out of their local church and be doing something. You know, I think about it like this. If you don't think your preacher is the best preacher, one of the best preachers, I'd go where he was, you know. I hope and I pray that, boy, God speaks to your heart and helps you. And you get something out of it when you come and we open up the Word of God. But I was saying about this old verse, my goodness, if we as a country could get back to it, what a change it would make. Somebody said, I was reading a book, Brother Leonard Ravenhill, he wrote a book, got Revival God's Way. And he said, people come to me and they say, preacher, pray for America. And he said, people come to him and say, preacher, pray for Britain, that they get right with God. And he said, I quit praying for America and Britain. He said, I'm praying for the church. If the church would get right with God, then the countries would get right. Amen. If the church would get right, all we pray, talk about the country. The country, the reason the country's going down the hill is because the church has gone so far down the hill. But you know, there's a remedy in the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where's the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I want to show you about five things this morning. First of all, talking about the old paths. The old paths, first of all, this morning is the slighted way. When I use the word slighted there, that when you slight somebody or slight something, it means to neglect or to disregard. Why are we in such a mess today in America and all around the world? Because we've slighted the old paths of the Word of God. We've neglected, we have disregarded, and that's exactly what they did right here in the Word of God. Jeremiah came to them and he said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and he told them what to do. But look what they said in the last part of verse 16. They said, but they said, we will not walk therein. God said, here's what you need to do. And God said, you know what? And they said, we're not going to do it. And that this is why God sent Jeremiah, and this is why God sent Isaiah, and this is why God sent Nathan. And whenever you see a prophet in the Word of God, God did not send prophets because they were doing good. God sent prophets because they needed direction from God Almighty. And so God sent them a man to tell them what they needed to do. And so when you see a prophet, it's not because they were walking close to God. It's because they were walking a long ways away from God. And so God sent Brother Jeremiah down there to tell them what they needed to do. Look in chapter 4 and verse 1, what the Bible said. I'll point out some things to you. They were not doing well. They were far, far away from God. They were not listening to what God had to say. And so God sent a man. Boy, I'm thankful for that. And he said in chapter 4, verse 1, to the children of Israel, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. God said, if you'll return to me, I'll not take you out of the land. If you'll return to truth, everything will be all right. God said, if you'll listen to me, I'll save you, I'll help you. That's what he said to them. Said in verse 3, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem. Look what he said to them. Break up your fallow ground, sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. He's talking about they had a stony, hard heart. Ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. What he's saying there, I'll just pick out verse number 3, the last part. He said, you children of Israel, your hearts are hard. You need to break up your fallow ground. You need to break up your fallow ground. Boy, if we get a hold of that this morning, that'd change us. That'd help us. I was out there in the garden the other day and been trying to work at it, stay ahead of it. I told somebody, one thing I want to do before I die, I'd like to have a pretty garden. Every year we start a garden, And I say this year's going to be the year we're going to keep the weeds out of it, and it's going to look like the old folks say, think that a garden ought to look, you know. And I said, that's one thing. And so I've been out there, and it's time to hoe the garden. And it's the first time that I've hoed it after we planted it. You know, the corn's up about so high, and you can look down the rows, and it looks like just a little patch of green carpet between the hoes. And when you see that, you need to get in there. And I thought to myself, I'll just run through it with a hoe, and I don't need to get the tiller out because I don't like to till. To me, I don't enjoy that, but I'd rather just go through it. But anyway, I started down through there, and I got about from here to the door over there, and that ground was so hard, I was going to break my hoe if I kept at it, because we laid off the rows with a tractor. Dad's tractor, and my brother, he was a mule, and he got behind it with an old-timey plow, and Dad run up and down through that garden with that tractor. And I told him, I said, if we're going to do that next year, we might as well just pave it, because that's how hard it was. And I'm telling you, that ground is hard as a rock, and I went through there, and I wasn't getting anywhere, and I said, I'll do better just to go get the tiller. And I went over there and got the tiller, and I spent about 3 or 4 hours and back and forth and back and forth, and I wrestled that thing and bounced over rocks. But I'd go down the first time, and it didn't feel like it was doing very much. But I'd get down, I'd turn around, I'd come down the second time, and I'd push down on the back of that thing, and boy, it'd start to churn up that dirt. It'd start to move that dirt and them weeds and that stuff. And then when I go back through, I just sift through and get what I didn't get the first time. And I was out there working, and I thought, boy, I tell you what, spiritually speaking, if the Holy Ghost of God had come up and come through and break up our fallow ground and our hard, stony, sinful hearts that got so far away from Him, boy, if the Holy Ghost had just till up our patch of weeds and go through us. I mean, you can preach and plow and you can work and labor, and the man of God can preach and just preach his heart out, and nobody moves or stirs or does nothing. You know what we need? We need the Holy Ghost of God to come through and just tear us all to pieces. I'll tell you, that'd help us this morning. That's what He said to the children of Israel. He said, break up your fallow ground. I can't do nothing with an old, hard, stony heart. I need you to get to the place where your heart's as soft, and then I can do something with you. And He said, break up your fallow ground. Then you can get back to the old paths. Look in chapter 5, verse number 1, what the Bible says over there. Chapter 5 and verse number 1. Look what I'm talking about, the slighted way. They were neglecting the old paths of the Word of God. They said, we will not walk therein. They were so hard-hearted. He said in chapter 5, verse 1, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof if ye can find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. You think about that this morning. Is that not where we're at in our churches in so-called Christian America today? People talk about God very easily. He is on their lips, but they weren't living their lives the way their lips were talking. He said, and though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. Look what he said in verse number 3. He said, thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. What's happening in America is the judgment of God. People don't like to hear that. they don't like to think about when tornadoes come through our land and kill over 500 people in just a few short months. And I mean, there are billions of dollars worth of destruction, loss of life. It will take years and years to build back Joplin and Arkansas and all the places that have suffered through this spring and the tornadoes and the forest fires and the flooding of the Mississippi River and the tanking of the economy and on and on and on. And my friends, there's most people today have forgotten all about any of that stuff. It's not in the headlines of the news this morning, but I'll tell you, these lives all across our country with they've lost everything that they have. It'll take them no telling how long they'll suffer and be uprooted and all of those things. But I'll tell you, we're not listening in America. I was talking with one of my preacher friends yesterday, and we was talking about revival, and I believe that God can send revival in our nation, but I'll tell you, we've still got too much. But I'll tell you, I believe God's trying to get us to a place in our country where we'll look back to Him and what He's done and what He wants to do. God said to the children of Israel, I've smitten them, I'm stricken them, but they paid no attention to me. They just went right on, and their hearts got harder and harder. So when God said in chapter number 6, told them what to do, they said, we're not going to walk therein. They hadn't even seen the judgment of God. They hadn't even seen. Oh, I tell you this morning, when we see God's hand, when we see things happening in this country like they've not happened in many, many, many a years, we need to, if we're spiritually minded this morning, we need to look and we need to say, is this the hand of God trying to bring our nation back and get us where we need to be? I believe it is. People don't like to hear that though, but I'm not running for office. I'm not trying to please anybody. I'm telling you what, thus saith the Lord this morning. God dealt with His people. He tried to correct them. He tried to chasten them. He tried to get their attention, and their hearts were so hard they would not listen to what God said. They said, we're not going to walk therein. We found a new way. That's the way that we're going to go in. Many people today, they're religious, but they're not righteous. God puts the emphasis on the righteousness, not how religious we are. Righteousness exalteth a nation is what the Word of God says. The old paths, it's the slighted way. They said, we will not walk therein. It's not only the slighted way, but I want to tell you the good news this morning, it's the sure way. He said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. See and ask is a prayer. Ask and pray is the same word in the Greek language. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. To see and to ask is to pray. It's what the Word of God is saying. They need to look and find and seek out and pray and ask for the old paths is what the Word of God says there. That word old there, it means since the beginning. It means a perpetual, ancient, eternal. It's the sure way. See and ask for the old paths, the Word of God says. If we'd look back in the old paths this morning, you'd find some things that many a Christian and many a church today, they've forgotten all about. But I'll tell you, we look in the old paths and we get to looking there, you'll find they're still there. I wrote down some things you'll find in the sure way in the old paths. Some things you'll find therein. I'll tell you one thing you'll find in the old paths. You'll find the Bible. You'll find the Word of God in the old paths. We live in a day and a time when you talk about the Bible to most people, first thing they want to know is what Bible you're talking about, what version you're reading, and all that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you this morning, the old paths, you didn't have to argue and ask if we had the Word of God. They knew this Bible was God's Word. And it is God's Word. I talk with anybody about the new versions and all of this bunch of stuff and dynamic equivalency and the Textus Receptus and all them big words and all that stuff. But I'll tell you, if your heart's hard and you don't want to listen to God, it won't do you any good. Before I knew it was the Word of God, I believed it was the Word of God. I never come in my life asking God to show. I said, God, I believe we've got your word, and I'll tell you, he has done nothing but confirm that in my heart ever since then. I'm not questioning this morning whether or not we've got the word of God. I know we've got the word of God. But that right there will get the job done. That right there in the old past, it has gotten the job done in our country. Many, many times before, you show me one good thing, one thing that's got the Holy Ghost of God on it, where there's power and real evangelism and sinners being converted and crying out to God from that newfangled mess that comes along. And the evidence of what God has used in the past ought to be enough to convince anybody. Buddy, I'll tell you, this new stuff, it just don't have the power. It's like one of them new smart cars that run down the road about 35 miles an hour and get you killed pulling out in front. Buddy, when I get in a car, I want to get in something that's got some power. That word of God I've got this morning, you've got in your lap this morning, it's got power. How come it's got power, preacher? Because it's the old past. It's the word of God this morning. You look in the old past, you'll find there's a Bible. You'll find there's a local church. We got a lot of people in our day and time, just anything will do, anywhere will do, any name will do, any way in they do in the church. I mean, I pass by some and I wonder and I ask myself, what in the world is the pull? See, people, a crowd will draw a crowd. And people, without a doubt, they love to go places where they're going to be served and pampered and taken care of and not required to do anything, be faithful. All that. I mean, that's that kind of stuff. But he had to draw a crowd. Drop the church, become a social club, but it's not getting the job done. Tell you what got the job done in the old past was the church. The local church, God uses the church. Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for it in the old past. You'll find the local church. You'll find worship. I'm talking about real old time Holy Ghost worship in spirit and in truth. That's what the Bible said in John chapter 4 and verse number 24. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I like them old time songs. They'll get the job done. I mean, you just come, get your heart right with God, get in the spirit of singing. Most people, they come in, they're not engaged in the service, they're disengaged. They come in, their mind's a million miles away. They're thinking about yesterday, they're thinking about tomorrow. The choir's singing, they're not paying no attention. People in the choir singing, they're not paying no attention. But I'll tell you, I've found this. If I'll come in and have a desire to worship him in spirit and in truth, and I get to thinking about what God on Calvary done for me, and I hung your stars out, buddy, I'll tell you, if God doesn't meet nobody else, he'll come by and meet me. I can sit there and worship him. I can praise him. I can thank him. There's worship in the old past. Buddy, they come before God when they were right. They come worth of me. Worship means worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of the time. He's worthy of the attention. He's worthy of the effort. He's worthy of everything when we come together. If we want to be in the old past, we will worship God in spirit and in truth. There's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in the old past. In the Word of God, that'll get the job done. Boy, I'm not preaching this morning. If you're lost, that you need to come and sign a card, that you need to come and shake my hand, that you need to come and be baptized, you need to come and join the church. If you're here today and you're lost, you're going to straight to hell if you die. And what you need more than anything, you need Calvary, you need Jesus, you need the blood. That'll get the job done. The old paths of the Word of God, all this new stuff, all this appealing to the psychology of man and giving you three ways to go out and be successful in health and wealth and all that bunch of stuff in the Word of God, you don't find that. You find the gospel. You find worship. You find the local church. You find holiness. Where have we gone away from that in our churches today? We wonder why we're cold sometimes. We wonder why there's no power of God. We wonder why there's no joy. There's no fellowship because we go out in the world and live like a dog, and you can't come in and worship God when you've lived. Hey, if you don't walk it through the week, don't expect to worship on Sunday morning. Holiness. Holiness. Read that church covenant on the wall sometime after service or before sometime. The old time saints emphasize walking with God. We're going to have a holy life. I thank God for grandmas and grandpas that tell their children and their grandchildren, we ain't going to do that. We ain't going to listen to that. We ain't going to go down that road because it does not please God. I told somebody the other day, they was talking about something. Would it bother me? Because I'm a preacher. I said, let me tell you something. You just need to get in the habit of finding out what Jesus wants you to do. And would it please the Lord Jesus Christ? And would he be happy with it? And if it won't please Jesus, better not do it. But if it pleases the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm fine with it too. Why is it people got to get their spirituality from somebody else? And it depends on what the preacher says. Hey, what about what thus saith the Lord says? What about what God thinks about it? He's the one that matters. That just irks me for somebody to say, better cut that out. Here comes the preacher. I always want to say, you better pay attention to the one that was here before I got here. What's God think about it? You find holiness. You'll find prayer and prayer meetings and times of prayer and all night prayer and early morning prayer and waking up in the middle of night prayer and praying until God prays through you in the old paths. You'll find revival in the old paths of the Word of God. It's the sure way. It's the way that'll get the job done. That's the way I'm interested in. It's the sure way. It's the slighted way, but it's the sure way. It's the saints' way. That word paths there, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. That word old there, it means since the beginning, perpetual, ancient, eternal. Psalms 119, 152 says, concerning thy testimonies I have known of old, that thou hast founded them forever. The word paths there, it means this. It means to tramp a beaten track. It means to be well worn. My grandpa Greer, and I guess many of you, your grandparents, and many of you are the same way. We are such creatures of habit. Every one of you are sitting just exactly where you sat last Sunday morning, just about. We're creatures of habit. My grandpa Greer, he could go from the house to the barn. He didn't have to have the light on. He had a path. If you went down to his house, and I helped him mow his yard many, many times, there's a path from the house to the barn. It went by the clothesline. It went by the tree. It went by the two posts that's sticking up out for the oil tank, but he never tripped over that. He never run into the tree. He never tripped over a root because he could do it in his sleep. He had a well-worn path. It was tried. It was tested. They wasn't a sawhorse in the path. They wasn't a stick in the path. That was the path to the barn. I thank God this morning we're not groping around in the dark trying to find out what we need to do as God's people. There's a well-worn track. You can go all the way back to Eden, and you go all the way forward to Calvary, and what you'll find, buddy, there's a track, there's a path. You can see the path. You don't have to worry about getting off the path. There's worship, there's the blood, there's all of those things. There's the saints of God of old. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about those great saints. It says just over there, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And it starts going down the line, starts talking about Abel, and starts talking about Moses, and starts talking about David and Jacob and all the rest of them there. They followed the path of faith. They walked the ways of God. And from Calvary all the way to today, I'm glad there's an old path we can look back to. I'll tell you what, that crowd that says the church went out of business and came back in, you mark her down, that's a cult. Because the only way you can come up to the 1800s somewhere around in there and start a new church is to make the case that the church went out. That's what some of I'm glad the church never went out of business. God's people were persecuted. God's people were run into the wilderness. They burned their books. They imprisoned them. They burned their preachers. They did all those things. But I'm telling you this morning, God's people never went out of business. There's a well-worn path. It's the saints' way this morning. We can look back and see what others have done. I found this at a church a while back, and maybe I shared some of it with you. I wanted to review it again this morning. It's a track. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it just says, I like the old paths. Said those were the days. Listen to this. When we would go witnessing with tears, prayed a lot and talked a little on the phone. Spent more time with the Bible than with TV. That's the old paths. We would weep about lost souls. Enjoy going to church more than anything. We had testimony and song services. Brother Burrell helped in the funeral a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about walking to church, walking up this valley here. People say, oh, them poor old people back then, they didn't have nothing. Hey, they had God, and when they came to church, they were worshiping on the way, and when they got here, they was ready to go. Poor us. Poor us. We've got so much. We've got so many things on our plate. We've got so many activities. We're running around like a chicken with its head cut off. We've got schedules we have to keep, places we have to be, things we have to do, money we have to spend, all of that stuff. And it's killing most people. Running ourselves ragged. What in the world for? What in the world for? Jesus Christ is coming soon. I want to be ready for Him. I want to be doing something for Him when He comes, not wasting my life on frivolous things that mean nothing. Mean nothing in light of eternity. We'd really try to do something for God. We'd say amen to the truth and go to the altar to repent of sin. Where's them days gone? We would seek the will of God on everything. Stand against sin anytime and anywhere. We read the Bible in public, prayed in school, and preached on the courthouse steps. How many were over there when they had that liquor by the drink thing and all them preachers got up and got to preach it? Praise God. Anybody that's seen that, that's the way it ought to be. God's people on anything that matters about anything ought to get down there. And let them know, I tell you, that crowd wants to forget us. They don't care what we've got to say. Old Chris Matthews on MSNBC, he said he's talking about that congressman up there that sent them dirty pictures of himself. And he said this, he said about Christians, he said them those backwards Christians. Socially backward is what he said. Buddy, bless your heart. I'd rather be socially backward. I'd rather know God, love that Bible than to live like a dog like the rest of that crowd. Woof! Amen. We don't growl. We don't bark. We say amen. Praise God. Bless His holy name. You can call me what you want to. I'll take the old pass. What a shame. What a disgrace. Got a pretty wife, married, got a youngin' on the way, and out here texting pictures of himself. What a bunch of dogs! Amen. Oh, preacher, you're judging. Amen, I'm judging. That's wrong. That ain't no way to live. That ain't no way to raise youngins. And they call us backwards, buddy. I'll take the old paths. I'll go with God. There's a better way than the way of this world. Buddy, I'm not sad about my life. I'm thanking God. I'd rather have the peace of God. I'd rather have the joy of God than all the applause and praise of the world. I don't care what they think about me. Said sex was a dirty word. Homo was an unheard of word. And abortion was an illegal word. Love was clean. Courting was watched. Dating was going to church. And marriage was till death. Preachers preached because they had a message. Singers sung because they had a song. Christians shouted because they had the victory, and sinners got convicted. Preachers preached from the Bible, singers sung from the heart, sinners repented and got saved. A new birth meant a new life. Salvation meant a change. Joining the church meant you would attend. Let me just stop right there. Well, I would, but some of them's not here. Joining the church meant you would attend. You would go to church. You would be there. It's like one of my preacher friends said, he's down from around Winston. Somebody asked him, said, how's the attendance at church? He said, it's up and down. It's up to the mountains and down to the coast. That's where we are a lot of times. I said, well, if you're like me and you pastor in the mountains, it's just down. No matter where they're at, they're down. Got to go down to get out of here. He said, women look like ladies, men look like gentlemen, and children look decent. Hey, when we go to church, we ought to look like we're going to church. We ought to look decent. We ought to look right. We ought to dress right, look right, act right, all of those things. People love the truth and hated a lie. They would follow the pastor and ignore the world. They came to get in and not to get out. Did you come to get in this morning or did you come to get out? You going to follow the pastor? You going to follow that crowd on TV and all that bunch of junk? You going to follow the crowd down at the school, or does it mean to you more what the Word of God and what the man of God has to say? I'm glad when I was growing up, my parents taught me, they said, you respect the preacher, you listen to the preacher, you listen to what the man of God has to say. Amen, it means something. Hymns sounded godly, sermons sounded helpful, shouting sounded normal, and crying sounded often. Church folk were faithful, even sinners were respectful, and everybody had manners. Cursing was wicked, drinking was evil, divorce was unbelievable, the flag was honored, America was beautiful, and God was welcomed. Being a preacher meant you were called of God. Being a deacon meant you would serve the church. Being a Christian meant you would live for Jesus, and being a sinner meant somebody was praying for you. Laws were based on the Bible. Homes read the Bible and churches taught the Bible. Pastors were more interested in new converts than new clothes and new cars. Churches wanted to reach every creature with the gospel more than new buildings and paving parking lots. Pastors were sent by God. People prayed God send him and waited until he did. God was worshiped. Christ was exalted and the Holy Ghost was followed. The Bible was believed, not corrected. Sinners got saved. Converts were converted and the gospel was preached, not shared. Amen. I like the old ways. I'm glad when I got saved, there wasn't one more soul went to that altar as far as I know. As far as I know on that Sunday morning, all I know is a preacher preached the Word of God, the Holy Ghost got a hold of my heart. Little shy 9-year-old boy, I was so shy, but I'll tell you, I'd have went that morning if there'd been 1,000 people there. And I looked up at my mom and dad and I said, can I go? Little old shy boy got out of that altar, got out of them benches, walked down that aisle, and I don't know if God saved me there or there or there. I don't know, but I'll tell you, God saved me because I got under Holy Ghost conviction and I knew I'd die and go to hell. Boy, God got a hold of me. That's my prayer. That's my desire. I don't care about numbers. I don't care about anything like that. But if God would just get in our midst and squeeze hearts in the old time way, but I'll tell you, said right there, being a sinner meant somebody was praying for you. I went and preached revival one time. There's a lady come to me every night and they said, pray for my daughter. She's lost. She's 16, 17 years old. She come. She said, pray for my daughter. She's lost. Boy, she come every night. She's right there on the pew, and I got a burden for that girl. And on about Friday night, God laid on my heart to preach on hell. And I don't just preach on hell all the time. It's serious business. Boy, I preached on hell. I'd prayed for that girl. I wanted to see her get saved, and get right with God, and get in. Her mom said she's out in the world and going down the wrong path and all that kind of stuff. And I remember giving the invitation at the end of that service, and I did, and she didn't come. I said, if you're here tonight and you got somebody on your heart, you're a burden for, and you want to come and pray for them, won't you come? Nobody came. And about that time, the Holy Ghost of God spoke to my heart, and I told them, I said, if I was here and I was lost, I'd think nobody cared for me.
after preaching on hell. Hell burns while the church sleeps. These people go out into hell while we're here enjoying the goodness of God this morning. We burned a brush pile a few weeks ago, me and Daddy. We spent that morning out there and make sure, you know, it's sort of wet and rainy that morning. Big old fire, that thing, man, it was 8 or 10 feet high, I guess. And that, I could never get around something like that. I don't think about hell. Finally, it burned down. We went on. Had stuff to do. It was over Memorial Day weekend. And come back 2 days later, Daddy called me one morning. He said, you know, that fire's still burning. He said, I got up this morning and I looked out there and smoke. I said, yeah, I thought I seen smoke coming out of there. And see, we watched it while it was burning, but then we went away and we forgot about it. But it's burning all the time, and that's how we are in the church. Hell's burning all the time. We just go about our business and our lives, doing whatever, whenever, wherever. And people's falling off into hell. They'll never get out. They'll never, forever and ever and ever, where the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever, day and night. Hell burns while we sleep. Hell burns whether we're thinking about it tonight. Being a sinner meant somebody's praying for you. Boy, I hope that's how we are here. It's the saints' way, the old paths I'm talking about. It's last of all this morning, it's the Savior's way. Say, what's in verse 16? Jesus is in verse 16. It said, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse number 11, after verse number 10, he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Preacher Carl, a while back, he starts saying, I don't know how long he's been saying it, but I heard him preach a few last times, and he'll say, hooray for Jesus. I seen on the church sign somewhere else. We'll have to get some bracelets made up, and like they do everything else, you know, just make a commercial advertisement out of it, and t-shirts and everything. Hooray for Jesus! But Jesus said in John 10 and 10, he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. If you're saved by the grace of God, you can have a good life. If you're not having a good life, it's because you're not having a close life. I guarantee you that. But then he said in verse number 11, he said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Boy, he's good. He's good. Who else has died for you that they could give you a good life? He said, I'm the good shepherd. He's good. Wherein is the good way? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The good way. Not one of the ways. Not a way, but Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way. He's the good way. He's the only way. He's the door. Where's the good way? And ye shall find rest for your souls. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I'm glad there's a place of rest. I'm glad there's a place of repose. That's what that means. Just like some of you get home and you'll kick back in that recliner for an afternoon or an hour or so and just rest and recline and repose. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me. Boy, we can rest in Him. Thank Him and praise Him. He's the good way. That's the Savior's way. Jeremiah told the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where's the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. It amazes me that they said, we will not walk therein. But you know what? We don't have to be like that. We can say, Lord, that's exactly where I want to walk. That's where I want to be. So they foo-fooed on the promise of God, that doesn't mean we have to. There's a good way. There's an old path. It's the only way. It's the best way. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Dale.